Hi, I'm Edwin Maher, and you're very welcome to episode 9 in my podcast series, Speaking Naturally. If you've been following the previous episodes, you'll have hopefully picked up on many of the tips towards achieving an improvement in the sound of your voice, building on the firm foundations of relaxing your body to produce the results for clear communication. This time, it's about the one thing many of us dread, having to present or make a speech. Call it whatever you will, but speaking in public or public speaking strikes a fear into our psyche that needs some thoughts and actions to push us through. I explain what happened to me when I was a youngster, asked to read the lesson in church, only to get a few words in before having to walk back to my seat, unable to continue. While I didn't know it then, I certainly wasn't in a calm frame of mind when the kid sitting next to me passed on his anxiety about me having to go up to the pulpit in front of the congregation. Public speaking gets a bad rap for many who latch onto the fear about it, especially finding out that we fear it more than death itself. That thought alone is enough to double our anxiety levels, knowing we could be in for a very slow death. But there are ways around this, especially if you have to do it for the first time. Just as a house must have firm foundations to withstand the elements of nature, so do you. And it comes back to the exercises I explained in episode 2, Breathing for Speech, and revised in episode 3, Taming the Butterflies. Once you understand how the anxiety level can be lowered, then you're free to concentrate on the preparation and delivery of your speech. If you are new to the experience of standing up in front of a group or a crowd, do listen to those episodes again. Make a note of how to breathe for speech, doing it as a warm-up to lower your heart rate and allow you to focus calmly on the task ahead. I'll go over the exercise briefly in a few moments. You don't have to keep belly breathing while you're giving your presentation. You can revert to the normal, more shallow breaths, but by breathing for speech as a warm-up several minutes before the event, you will have more air in your lungs and release it more slowly rather than taking in gulps of air and exhaling just as quickly. Look on any web page or YouTube video about public speaking and you'll find a mind-boggling range of advice. Some of the do's and don'ts can be confusing as well as helpful. One piece of advice you'll often find is, don't write out your entire speech. Just write some bullet points on cards or use those points on the PowerPoint as a prompt. But if you're new to public speaking, crafting your speech at the computer can be a real help to achieving the desired result of becoming confident about delivering the content. So once you have the structure decided, write out or type out your speech, then print it and start practicing. From my own experience when giving talks about my career in broadcasting, I always took the written version of my speech and used the pages not as a crutch, but to show my audience I had prepared for the occasion. My ultimate aim was to improve my ability to eventually speak without those notes. So if you're a newcomer to public speaking, don't try to walk before you can crawl. Even experienced acrobats still perform with a net, giving them assurance that if, like a public speaker, they lose their place, support is literally there. There's no shame in writing the whole speech word for word, because doing that will reinforce the content in your brain, and there'll be times when you'll find yourself ad-libbing or talking off script. Then, if you want, look down again at the page to keep yourself on track. I'm not talking here about speeches written for world and other top leaders who have to read and not deviate from what has been prepared by their speechwriters, because doing so could insult their hosts and start a round of hostilities. While it's important to rehearse your presentation, especially if you're going to use slides, you can be confident of another golden rule. Keep to your allotted time. Don't worry if what you've written runs shorter than the time you were offered. There's nothing worse than overstaying your welcome. I once attended a lecture where the guest speaker was so full of his own importance, he went way beyond the allotted 30 minutes and left the audience literally shuffling their feet. One of the organisers approached the stage with a large piece of cardboard on which the words, "Please stop," had been written. He eventually got the message. With your notes and other content well prepared, check with the person who will introduce you to make sure that he or she isn't going to be filled with their own importance either. Some officials and masters of ceremonies see the role as their big chance to upnote themselves, and after researching everything about you, they start taking up your valuable time by giving an introduction which contains things you wanted to say yourself. Arrive early so you won't be just on time, or worse still, late, and find that person who's going to introduce you. Double-check their introduction doesn't steal from yours. Ask them, without offending, could they please be brief? During this arrival and checkout time, you can still do some more deep breathing for speech. No one's going to notice, and you'll be backing up your breath supply in the process, right up to the time you go on stage or to the front of the group. When the person does introduce you, this is the time your anxiety will be at its peak, sparking the adrenaline rush and carrying a few scary thoughts. Will everything be okay? You ask yourself silently. An important point to make here is to accept that the rush of adrenaline is merely the juices which get you sparking into action. You need to think of this sometimes frightening or uncomfortable feeling as being perfectly normal. Without it, you and your audience would be in for a long morning, afternoon, or evening nap. Well, it's time to bring out a trick from under your sleeve and give yourself a cool reality check. And when I say cool, I mean an icebreaker. This isn't the moment for a Seinfeld comedy routine, but a chance to put you at ease and connect with the audience, even if they're your work colleagues and you know them well. What do we do when we go up to meet someone we know, or, as may be the case, we don't know? There's always something to say, without much problem, beyond the "how are you, what have you been doing" kind of thing. Well, that kind of approach needs to be done at the start of your speech, but the content has to have been prepared. An anecdote, anything that won't offend or be out of step with the occasion, can have a great calming effect on you and the audience. Even if it's a family or friend's funeral service, a light recollection about the person whose life you're going to pay tribute will be quite appropriate before getting into the structure of the formal, more prepared content. And if you want to embellish the facts a little, at least the person being remembered won't jump out and contradict you. Weddings are another occasion where you might have to speak, and at these happy celebrations, your icebreaker will be in a much lighter vein. At the other extreme, let me point to an example of the most serious of speeches, given in Washington, D.C. in September 2018, when Christine Blasey Ford told the Senate Judiciary Committee, "I am here today not because I want to be. I am terrified." Knowing the world was watching and having to repeat allegations of the most personal nature, she described how she felt standing before that committee. Terrified. It was hard enough watching this on the other side of the world, but myself and I'm sure millions of others let out a breath of relief. They felt how she felt. The professor used that moment to catch her own breath and continue recounting what she remembered. In public speaking terms, Christine Blasey Ford's opening was an icebreaker, not just for herself, but an audience also terrified by what they were about to hear. Hopefully, none of us will have to speak in such an environment, but those first words, delivered in an honest, informal way, will settle you and the butterflies, providing the launch pad from which to deliver the main body of your talk. As you become more confident and familiar with presenting in front of people, you can improvise on the original notes like a jazz musician, returning to the main theme whenever you want. I've got my own icebreaker for giving a talk, usually about my experiences in the world of broadcasting, and it is a letter which came to me from a viewer long before the days of email, but I've kept it, and here's a copy of it right now. This lady from the city of Melbourne in Victoria, Australia, wrote to me when she was a fan of my news reading and weather presenting on the Australian ABC TV. "Dear Mr. Ma," she wrote, "I always enjoy watching you read the ABC news. However, I want to point out something that you may not realise. While you always dress immaculately, your glasses are not sitting correctly across your nose. To me, looking at the TV screen, your left glass is higher than the right. To you, looking out of the screen, your right side of the glasses is higher than the left. I hope you can do something to correct this, because it needs to be fixed to give you a perfect appearance. Kindest regards, Mrs. E. M. Brash." So, I tell the audience, if you do notice there's something strange with my appearance or my glasses are not sitting correctly across my nose, don't hesitate to come up and let me know. Many experts on public speaking will tell you to never finish a speech with, for example, "thank you," or "that's all I have to say." And while the latter is probably not so good at all, who says these experts are right? You can do what you like. The only exceptions may be a business presentation, where you want to end with a punchline for a new product and leave the audience cheering on cue. Learn to speak naturally and be natural at the same time. Even some of those high-tech whiz kids are not necessarily top presenters when they have to get the audience to clap for them. Neither are some of our politicians when they go through those tedious routines of making a point every few minutes and pausing for the audience to clap. If you're not sure how to end your speech, you can win hearts and minds by simply thanking the audience for taking the time to come and hear you and wishing them every success with their own endeavours. In the weeks or days leading up to your own event, spend as much time as you can to visualise yourself giving the speech. Feel the butterflies preparing to take off, and as you do, continue the belly breaths, counting to four as you inhale through your nose, making sure the belly is expanding and making sure the shoulders don't move. Hold the air for another 4 seconds, counting slowly, then releasing the air through your mouth, counting again from 4 to 1. Breathe in for 4 seconds, 2, 3, 4. Hold it there for 4 seconds, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then release the air through your mouth with the belly coming back in, counting slowly again, 4, 3, 2, 1. In your mind's eye, see the audience and the smiles on their faces. You can rest assured they'll be wanting you to succeed, and they'll be feeling some nervous excitement as well. With your eyes closed, now imagine starting the speech and your heart rate settling down, leaving you calm and assured, knowing you have prepared well and you can do it. And some final takeaways. Don't start the speech quickly. If the nerves or butterflies are still twitching, it's safer to start slower, which an icebreaker will allow you to do. When we speak too quickly, it's harder to slow down. We suddenly realise our motor mouth is spewing out the information too quickly, and we should be slowing down. It's much easier to pick up the pace if you start slowly than it is to slow down when you've started too quickly. Make sure you have water to lubricate your mouth, but don't drink it from a bottle. When we do that, we end up gulping the water, which could cause a choking sensation at a time when the air passages need to be kept clear of any sudden obstruction from a rush of water as your plastic bottle is tilted or upturned. Make sure you're given a glass or plastic cup with just a little water to allow you to take a sip to prevent a continuing dry throat. And while there are things to do, there are things to avoid. And one is, don't over-prepare. You don't want to be perfectly perfect to the point that your presentation is robotic and might as well be done by artificial intelligence. It's you they want to hear. And if you stumble or the video doesn't play, just carry on or call a short tea break while the technical glitch is sorted out. And while we were on the subject of drink, avoid any coffee before you speak. The caffeine can overtake the nervous energy that you're harnessing to keep you on track, undoing all the calming techniques you've worked on before the event. While tea has less caffeine and may be less troublesome than coffee, water is the safest of all before and during your talk. Don't overflow the system. And by the way, make a bathroom stop before going into the room where you'll speak. And all this will literally make all systems go. If the presentation calls for questions from the audience, don't be embarrassed or worried if no one immediately puts their hands up. Don't take it personally, because it's often the case that no one wants to be first to put up their hand. Like the icebreaker, have a question to ask them, and you'll find this makes them more inclined to respond when you ask again. If no one does, don't worry, time is precious, and they may be quite satisfied with all the information they've taken from your address, needing to go on to their next assignment or appointment. You've done your best. It has been a learning experience for your audience and for you. And no matter how nervous you were in the days and hours before, I'm absolutely sure you will have made great strides in this challenging area of speaking naturally. If you want to join the conversation, email me at the address in the podcast description, and I'll get back to you. From giving the answers to being asked the questions, you're going to be interviewed. That's the topic for the next episode of Speaking Naturally. I'm Edwin Maher. Thanks again for your company. Bye for now.